All right, now here we go. I got my first page. Just kind of briefly go over this. I began last week what I hope to be a tremendous help to adults and young people alike. I think my heart especially is toward the young people because I know they're going to be making, especially our teenagers, they're going to be making a lot of decision over the course of the next 5-10 years. Life affecting decisions. And so it's so important that if God will help me to be able to impart some important factors in making good decisions, then you'll be better off for all of your life, for all of your life. And so I really want to I really want God to be in this and be a help. Take notes. Parents, if you got a piece of paper there, or grandparents, you got a piece of paper there for your young person, I'd put a pen and a paper in their hand and say, hey, we're not looking at the ceiling tonight. We're not looking at our neighbors. We're going to be taking notes. Because I'll promise you there's going to be things said that will be a help to them. Listen, I've my whole ministry, a biggest part of my ministry has been helping people that's made bad decisions. Amen. Just gets down to that. Just made bad decisions. And if they had it to do over again, I'll guarantee you they'd tell you, I'd never make that. But that they could go back to a certain place. I'd never make that decision. I'd never make that decision. If they had it to do over again. Pay attention. Because it's so important, okay? In Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 11, we began there last week. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 11, bear with me, I'll get there. Where a father is trying his best to impart wisdom to his child. That's what Proverbs chapter number 4 is all about. And we see there in verse number 10, he says, hear me, or hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. And we contrasted that phrase there, that she is thy life, instruction. And for the message that we're working on is the ability to apply that instruction, taking the imparted instruction, and then using it, making good decisions off of it. We contrasted that with Proverbs chapter number 7, where it says in verse number 21, her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway. Notice this. As an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. It's for his life. Your decision making is going to determine what kind of a life you're going to have. Is this thing dead again? All right, let me turn it off. All right, here we have the contrast of life. One is a life, all of them are in choices of life. One is a choice of a strong life. In verse number 12 of chapter 4, let me just go down through here. One is a choice of a stable life. One is a choice of a sure life. One is a choice of a steady life. While the other is a choice of a life of deception, a life of darkness, a life of defeat, a life of defamation, a life of destruction, asking at the last, as is written in Proverbs chapter number 5, where one cried out, how have I hated instruction? Let me find my place there again. I didn't turn my page. He says there in verse number 12, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I believe the answer is in the willingness to make right decisions. Here in verse chapter number 4 of Proverbs, notice this. Whenever he tells him the instruction to take that instruction in verse 13 and let it not go, keep her, for she is thy life, there's a list of six
six instructions that requires that son to make those decisions. Enter not into the path of the wicked. That is a decision to be made. Go not in the way of evil men. That is a decision to be made. Avoid it. Another decision. Pass not by it. Another decision. Turn from it and pass away. These are decisions. These are instructions set out there that the young person, or the son here in this case, is to make the decisions to obey that instruction, to follow that instruction. If they don't, they're going to end up a mess. End up a mess. In my life, as well as in the life of those that I've been able to help, I've seen that a lot of the problems that folks face is wound up and bound up in an inability, and more often than not, an unwillingness to make good decisions. To make good decisions. And not just those that are young, whose normally their decision-making is often out of ignorance, but adults as well who have lived a life for so long making decisions steeped in fleshly pride, human sight, human intellect, rebellion, and now they're trying to make better decisions. And as I said previously, it requires in the outset a willingness to make right decisions. I hope everybody, I hope that every Christian truly has a desire to make right decisions. It all starts there. If you don't want to make right decisions, Jesus himself could not teach you wisdom. Because you've already got it set in your heart that there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, and there are the ways of death. And nobody can tell you any different. And so for a willingness to make those decisions, it requires a willingness to make right decisions, not merely the ability. Many have the ability, but are not willing. We see that in Proverbs 5. Often the basis of our decision is in our lack of understanding what it will result in. When we make bad decisions, there's unknown regret. We make good decisions, there's an unknown reward. It's just because it's future. It's the law of reaping and sowing. So to the spirit, you reap life. So to the flesh, you reap corruption. And many times I've seen good people make terrible decisions. And I truly believe that they do this knowing that there will be negative consequences, but their attitude toward those consequences is that they'll deal with them later. They'll deal with them as they come. And that is so foolish. That is so foolish. Why? Because they have no idea. I've done that myself, have no idea how far-reaching those consequences may be. We gave some illustration concerning Achan and David and Bathsheba and Samson and Judas and Moses and Nadab and Abihu and Jeroboam, these that had made terrible decisions and paid for them for many, 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 many years, these decisions. Beloved, there are not too many things more valuable than to have both the ability to make good decisions and the willingness to make good decisions. And I mentioned some things about the unwillingness to make good decisions and the cost of that. If we can learn to make good decisions, it will result in a lifelong, unfathomable peace, priceless sense of peace, joy, and godly contentment. The Bible says godly contentment is great gain, great gain. And so we started last week on the subject of making good decisions. Last week we said, number one, somebody tell me what it was. Know your flesh. Know your flesh. The flesh is going to show itself, reveal itself at every decision you have to make. Everyone. Everyone. It comes time, whether it be the things of God or the things out there in the world. Because your flesh has its own motive. When it comes to decision making, it's going to chime in. It's going to let you know what it wants to do. We said three things to be concerned about the flesh. What was the first one? It's led by a corrupt heart. That's our flesh. Our heart, the Bible says, is desperately wicked. Who can know it? When we listen to the flesh, we've got to understand this flesh is led by a corrupt heart. Number two, what else? Steeped in selfishness. It's all about self. And if you, when I'm talking about making decisions now, you better know your flesh. Because it's led of a corrupt heart and it's steeped in selfishness. And then the third thing was what? It tends to be probably 95% of the time it is against the will of God. Your flesh is against the will of God. And beloved, if you don't take into account your rotten flesh when it comes into your decision making, you are going to be in a mess. Because every decision you make is going to be based on what feels good and what sounds good and what's going to be the most pleasing and what's going to get you the most benefit out of it. And that's going to be the basis of your decision making, and that's going to mess you up. Even here in Proverbs chapter number, if you backed up to Proverbs chapter number 1, notice these words. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. And this last phrase of verse number 32 of chapter 1, and the prosperity of fools, that is them getting what they want, shall destroy them. I'm telling you, if you are like we read last week, if you're a man given to appetite, the Bible says, put a knife to your throat. If it's all about what you want. And I'm talking about your decision making. It's about what you want. It's about number one. It's about, just because it feels good. Then you're going to be in for a life of regret and heartache. I'm going to move on to number two tonight. We said number one, know your flesh. Number two, write this down. Know your faith. Know your faith. Know your faith. Look, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, and we'll spend most of our time around this New Testament area here. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, let me get there. Talking about making good decisions. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 3, Paul said here, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now watch verse number 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I tell people, you know, when it comes to decision making, There's two areas to choose from. There is what you want to do, and then there is what you ought to do. There is what you want to do, and then there is what you ought to do. I could use the illustration of tithing. A lot of times people don't tithe because, hey, they figured it out and they just can't afford to do it. And so they look at the tithe and they see in the Bible that it's right. The Bible teaches it very clearly. But there is every Sunday morning, it seems, or every Saturday, whenever it is, you sit down and begin to figure up the bills, that there is that the tithe is laid out there, so the choice has been presented and a decision is going to be made. The decision is going to be based on what you want to do versus what you ought to do. And when I'm talking about what you ought to do, the things concerning being obedient to making decisions based on our faith, a lot of times will be in that area. Because a lot of times it's what we ought to do, not about what we want to do, or what we may think we want to do, or what we think is better. It's about what we ought to do. Have you ever considered the protection in decision making that is contained in simply doing this? Being faithful to your faith? I'm not talking about necessarily looking at it as if you're being faithful to me as a preacher, or being faithful to mom or dad, or to some authority like that, or even to the Lord. But just being faithful to the faith that you live under. Being faithful to your faith. Paul was teaching this carnal-minded church here at Corinth some principles concerning decision making. He states in verse number 3, again he points out there that he acknowledges, he knows his flesh. He said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." We recognize, Paul says, in the battle that I'm living, in this life that I'm living, I recognize my flesh and its presence. He said, "I know we walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh." So he acknowledges the flesh. He states there in verse number 3. Then in verses 4 and 5, he shows us that he is aware also of his faith. Of his faith. Verse number 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought," notice this, "to the obedience of Christ." In other words, he measures his decisions based on the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the faith that he lives in, the doctrine and the dogma that is his faith. He makes his decision based on those things, bringing it to obedience captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ, or if you will, his walk with Christ, his faith in Christ, his faith. All right? He includes, which includes the commandments of the Father, the knowledge of God, the constraining love of Christ, to the obedience of Christ, and the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God. In verse number 3, though we walk not in the flesh, it was Paul who said in Galatians chapter number 5, that walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You recognize that, hey, there is my flesh, but there is my faith as well. And so he points these things out. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter number 5. In Ephesians chapter number 5. Turn over there. Let's look at some scripture here tonight. In Ephesians chapter number 5. In Ephesians chapter number 5. Notice there in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness," he says this, "let it not be once named among you," and then here's this phrase, "as becometh saints." He's saying there that we are to live in a manner that is becoming of our faith, that as becometh those belonging to the Christian faith. He says there, "neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." But he said that we are to live our lives in a manner as becometh those who are professing Jesus Christ, our faith. When's the last time you said this? "You know what? I think I want to make this decision in my life, but because I'm a Christian, I'm not going to do it." You're saying because of my faith, I'm not going to do it. Well, the Bible don't say this. We're always looking for that out, ain't we? This old flesh is always looking for the out, trying to figure out some way that I can get away with sin and still be all right. What about just saying, "Man, I'm not going to do it because I believe this is right according to my Christian faith." Man, whether it be the clothes that we wear, whether it be the company we keep, whether it be the Bible that we read, whether it be the way that we talk, say, "Hey, I don't do this." Why? Because Christians don't do this. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. I'm seeing two young people that are having a hard time being still. Decision making. Look at Philippians chapter number 1. In Philippians chapter number 1. In Philippians chapter number 1, the Bible says there, let me get there to my place, verse number 27. The Bible says, for indeed, let's see, am I in the right place? No, I'm in Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 says, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Now, the conversation there is not just your words, it is your life. It's the way you live. And he's saying, let your life be such a life, your conversation, be how? As becometh the gospel of Christ. In other words, our faith. Letting our Christian faith be involved in the decisions that we make. Well, the Bible don't say that, so it must be all right with me. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the letter of the law. We already said that's what the flesh does. But what about just because it's not the best thing concerning your Christian faith? Your Christian faith. And we're supposed to be a light to this lost world. And many of our decisions need to be learned. We need to learn that our decision making, a lot of times, is going to be very healthy and very wise and very strong if we allow our faith to have a part in the decisions that we make. What about a job? Man, I got to get a job. I got to have a job. And I need a job. And God, I pray you give me a job. And all of a sudden you get a job. Now you're not in church on Sunday. Now you're not in church on Sunday. You've just cut off. You've cut off your spiritual strength. You've just cut off the ability to God to work through the assembly of God's people, whether it be the preaching of the word, the praising in song, the testimonies, the prayer requests of one another, but you've got a job, but now you're out of church. You're trying to hang on, you're trying to hang on and do the right thing, but it's so difficult because you've cut yourself away, but you've got a job. When you start getting hungry in the faith and you start listening to all sorts of stuff on the radio and you start thinking on your own, and boy, you've cut yourself off and you've limited your ability to take advantage of what God has for you, and you are in a very, very weak position when it comes to decision making. But you know what? If a person said, hey, you know what? As a Christian, I'm supposed to be in God's house on Sunday. Amen to that. Somebody say amen. Amen. Why am I going to get a job to keep me out of church? I'm not going to do it. See, that's a decision. You know what that decision is based on? It's based on my faith. My faith. Sure, I don't have to go into the Bible and say, well, the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not work on Sunday. Ain't got nothing to do with that. I recognize the power and the wisdom and the strength and the knowledge that comes from being a part of this assembly right here. Why would I cut that off? That'd just be a bad decision. That'd be a bad decision. And so we've got to learn that our faith often will lead us into areas to make good decisions. Both of these passages in Ephesians 5, 1 through 3, Philippians 1, 27, both of these passages instruct us to make decisions based not on our personal desires, not on our personal feelings, not on what might or might not be more convenient, nor what we would rather do. Both of these passages teach us to make decisions based on based solely on what our faith calls upon us to do. I think that is great. I believe that is right. There's nothing wrong. I've learned over the years that there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, we don't do that at Longview. We don't do that. Our pastor doesn't teach us that way. Those things are there to be a help to you. And if we allow our faith to be involved in our decision making, we're going to make good decisions. We're going to make good decisions. Because we're going to do things as becometh the saints of God. Know your faith. Know your faith. Let me give you several things here in this area of knowing your faith. Number one, let me say this, or letter A, Roman numeral 2 is know your faith. Letter A, make sure you're in the faith. make sure you're in the faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5, I believe it is, yes, the Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Are you in the faith? I guess there's two things to that. One is, are you saved? It's going to be hard to, you know, I put it here in my notes even, this principle. You know, you can be lost. You can be lost and follow the principles of the Christian faith, and you'll receive benefit from that. You'll receive benefit from that because it's going to keep you in a position of strength. For instance, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out from among them and be ye separate. He goes on down through there. He says, touch not. I forget how it's worded there. Let me turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Just say, touch not the unclean thing is what I'm after. And there in chapter number 6, he says, wherefore come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. You know, a person can be lost and take that principle in and be better off for it. You know why the Bible says touch not the unclean thing? Somebody help me. It's unclean. It's bad for you. So if you, as a lost person, you recognize that truth there, I'm telling you, even a lost person can follow the principles of the Christian faith and be better off for it. But you'll not be able to have the confidence and the consistency and the conviction inside to do these things until you are born again. Because the Spirit of God's at work inside of your heart. The Spirit of God reveals these truths as real and as truthful and as right. And it has a little bit less to do with your personal motivation and more to do with the Spirit's leadership. And there is a difference. So, whether you be in the faith. And then secondly, if you are saved, are you in the faith? Are you in the faith? Are you recognizing that there are principles and precepts, statutes of God's Word that you are to follow and to obey as God's children? Remember, as becometh saints. It's not a game. It ain't no club. It's a faith. It's a faith. And we're to live out that faith. Make sure you are in the faith. The statutes that I've written in my notes here, statutes, principles, doctrines of the Christian faith will in themselves help you make wise decisions. But if you want to perform these duties with conviction, confidence, and a long-term success, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. First of all, are you in the faith? Letter B, a big letter B. We can, the Bible tells us, we can stand fast in the faith. We can stand fast in the faith. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. In 1 Corinthians 16. There in verse number 13, the Bible tells us there, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Now, I always like that phrase there that the Bible uses on several occasions. We'll read some more of these later on. But notice he didn't say, watch ye, stand fast, quit you like men, and be strong. Why? Because I believe it's important to understand that unless we are standing fast in the faith, there is no strength and power. But that means, therefore, if we stand fast in the faith, we'll be very strong in our decision-making ability. My focus to you tonight is to know your faith. In order to make good decisions, acknowledge what your faith would have you to do. A lot of times you're going to make good decisions in that. You're going to make good decisions in that. Why? Because we can stand fast in the faith. Standing fast in the faith. The word stand fast means having the ability to persevere. Having the ability to persevere. You did run well. Who did hinder you? Well, I made a bad decision. How'd you make a bad decision? Because I was not standing fast in the faith. And I was not able to persevere. I don't know about you. I'm not in this thing for short term. I don't serve God till the day I die. That means I've got to be interested in knowing how to make good decisions. I got to know how to make good decisions. And if you want to be strong in the Lord, if you want to be able to run this race with patience and following the Lord and being successful, hearing Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," then you too are going to have to understand the importance of making good decisions. I'm telling you, know your faith. Your faith will help you make good decisions. Your faith will help you make good decisions. And so the word stand fast, as I mentioned, it means having the ability to persevere. And we do so in the faith. In the faith. Letter C, we are established in the faith. Acts chapter number 16. Back in Acts chapter number 16. In Acts chapter 16. The Bible tells us there in verses 4 and 5. Notice these words in Acts chapter number 16. It says, "And as they went through the cities, they delivered unto them the decrees for to keep." Notice that. They're going through the cities, passing out to these churches ordinances, statutes, precepts of what? Of the Christian faith. That's what these decrees were. That word "decrees" there, it means laws, whether they be civil, ceremonial, or ecclesiastical. So I'm going through and I'm handing out to the churches the way that the churches should carry themselves. All right, now watch. And so they went out, they handed out these decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. These were the ones carrying them out. And so, verse number 5, and so were the churches established in the faith. The word established means to be made solid or to make strong. How did they become established? How did they become solid? How did they become strong? By receiving those decrees and following them. See? It's their Christian faith that helped them to make good decisions that resulted in them being strong in their lives. We're established in the faith. Letter D, we continue in the faith. Over in Colossians chapter number 1, in the book of Colossians chapter number 1, in Colossians chapter number 1, in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 21, the Bible says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Notice the next word, if. If. I don't know anybody that wants to be defined by these words. I don't know anyone who wouldn't want to be defined by these words: holy, unblameable, unreprovable. But that does not happen unless you recognize the little two-letter word that follows those: if. If you what? Continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. See, beloved, listen. A lot of times we make our decisions. Young people, listen to this preacher, please. A lot of times you'll make your decision based solely on how you see it. And when you make your decisions based on how you see it, You are limiting your ability to make good decisions. Why? Because it's your flesh primarily that's going to be there. But if you begin to focus on what your faith would have you do, right away you've got a strength that you can draw from that is going to help you in every area of decision making. Everyone. The flesh is going to present itself. You've got to be wiser than your flesh. Know your faith. Here he says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under the heaven, whereby Paul and made a minister, the importance of our Christian faith. We can continue in our faith. Letter E. We are established in our faith. We are established in our faith. Colossians there, chapter number 2 and verse number 6. The Bible tells us there, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You've got to purposely separate the Christian faith from what he's saying right here in our decision making, in our walking, our daily lives. He said in every aspect of our lives, we are to consider our Christian faith. We are to consider the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do that, we're going to make good decisions. Because it's not about us. It's not about convenience or popularity. It's not about pleasures. It's not about emotions. It's not about all of that stuff that is carnal. It's about the faith that we live, our Christian faith. Verse 8, beware lest any man, in verse 7 we're talking about being rooted and built up in Him. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Talking to Christians now, beware. Beware, young people, beware. Beware. Oh, you're going to have the young people going to come to you and say, oh, you don't have to listen to that preacher. Oh, you don't have to read that Bible. Oh, you don't have to dress that way. Oh, you don't have to listen to that kind of music. Oh, you can do whatever you want to. And you just found yourself deceived because somebody else appears come to you and convinced you that what they're saying is right and cause you to be deceived and turn your back on what you know your Christian faith teaches. Bad move. Bad move. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Somebody tries to get you to stay out of church, that didn't come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody trying to be a hindrance to you from getting in on God's will for your life, that's not of the Lord. And you got to be wise to that. You got to be wise to that. Got to be wise to that. We can be established. Be established. The word established there means to be strong. To have strength. All right, letter F. We are sound in the faith. I reminded of that maniac of the Gadarenes there in the book of John. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Mark chapter number 5, 4 or 5. There where the Bible says that maniac that was running around in the tombs, crying and yelling, cutting himself, running around naked up there. Now he's sitting and clothed and in his right mind. He made a good decision. He made a good decision. By the way, I'll never forget a preacher pointed out one time concerning that maniac. Listen to this. He didn't just wake up one morning and found himself in the tombs crying and cutting himself. That was a process of bad decision making. That's just where he got dumped. Nobody else could deal with him. And so we can be sound. In Titus chapter number 1, in the book of Titus chapter number 1, There in verse number 13, the Bible says, this witness is true. I said verse 13. Okay, yeah, verse number 13, that's right. The Bible says, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. For what purpose? That they may be sound in the faith. Sound. The word sound there means of a clear mind. Being of a clear mind. In the faith. In the faith. The word sound also carries with it good health or to be whole. And a lot of people have lived their lives that have made bad decisions. And you can't look at them and not recognize a physical impact of that. Physical impact. Because the whole life is eat up with one consequence after another. Been in and out of jail. Been involved with drugs and drinking. And the outfall of that. I knew a guy who used to drink so much he'd have seizures. Fall and bust his head wide open and end up with brain damage, not because of the drinking, but because of the, it was a head injury that was brought on from drinking. You're not going to live that kind of a life and it not impact you physically. You may say, well, that'll never happen to me. Well, you won't be the first person to say that, nor will you be the last, but you're going to prove yourself to be wrong. You toy with that, and you will bear those consequences. But you know what? If you allow your Christian faith to interject and help you make those decisions, guess what? You'll never go there to begin with. Amen. Amen. Let that faith get involved. Christians, hey, our church, our faith does not allow that. Well, where does the Bible say that? I'm not concerned about what the Bible says in this regard. It's what my Christian faith, it's my testimony. It's my testimony. A lot of things the Bible doesn't say that's not good for a Christian. Man, the Bible doesn't say that thou shalt not go to wet and wild or whatever they call it nowadays. But I ain't got no business going there. Come on, you got to use your head. Use your intellect. Use your wisdom. Use your faith. Use your faith. We're sound in our faith. We're made sound in our faith. We have the power. As we follow our faith, guess what? We have the power to resist temptations in our faith. In our faith. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 5. We know the Bible says there in verse number 8 that we have an adversary. The adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Let me find my place there. Whom resist, the Bible says, steadfast in the faith. Verse number 9. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Steadfast in the faith. Our ability to overcome the temptations of the devil, and therefore the same, whether it be the world, our old flesh, we can find in our faith the ability to resist temptation. Why? Because it's not based, we're separating our own desires and our own wants from our decision making. We're letting our faith make our decision. Our faith being an input to the decisions we make. Boy, I'm telling you, if you do that, young people, if you do that, adults that are trying to learn how to make good decisions, if you allow your faith to be involved, you will make good decisions. You'll make good decisions. But you separate your faith from your decision making, and you just might find you're going to choose the path that is more pleasing to your flesh. And when you make your decisions based on the flesh, it's going to cost you. As a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. You get the image in that, don't you? There's a trap set. There's a trap set, and that cage is set up high. And inside that cage is bird food. And more, it looks probably just the best bird food in all the world. And a bird comes along and says, man, I've just got to have it. I just got to have it. And totally separate any other wisdom, going straight forward and knoweth not it's for his life. Know your faith. The faith that we have is there to allow us to have an input in our decision-making process. One of the things you're going to need when it comes to making good decisions is you're going to need to know your faith. Know your faith. Know your faith. I'll give you an illustration. I've told this story before, but again, making the application here. There's a guy there at the mission, a young man, 18 years old. They called him Spider. It's a long story, but anyway, get the image. Sagging breeches, long hair, tattooed up, shrapnel all in his face. He couldn't understand why every time he walked down to the store, they'd come up to him and either want to buy dope or try to sell him dope. I told him, I said, man, that's kind of funny. I said, that never happens to me. Never. I'd lived here at that time. I'd lived there about 7 years before he ever come along. That never happened to me. Why? Because I recognize, or they recognize, there's something different, not in our personalities, because they don't know me and they don't know him. It's simply in the way that we dress. So now, here's what I'm saying. Because, listen to me, listen, young people, don't laugh. I'm trying to help you. He carried himself in a way that he had a hurdle to overcome every time he went out. Life's difficult enough without making stuff harder for us. I never had to overcome that hurdle. Why? Because I recognized and I made a decision that I'm going to carry myself the way a Christian should carry themselves. And just like that, it helped me make good decisions. I wasn't faced with that junk. Hey, I didn't know. I didn't have to go to class and get somebody to teach me how to say no to drugs. Which they never come to me and ask me if I want drugs. They come to you. No, because I let. There's so much, and that's just one area. There's so much wisdom in decision making when we, number one, know our flesh, and then number two, know our faith. Because our faith will help us make good decisions. Amen? Paul pointed out, as I was before our close, he pointed out in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, that when it comes to the decisions I make, I always want to run them through the filter that is my faith. I bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is his Christian faith. Number one, know your flesh. Number two, know your faith. Let's stand together, our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I pray that, Lord, you use these words tonight to strengthen your people. God, I don't want to see another person make a bad decision that they've got to overcome. I want your people to be wise about their flesh. And, Lord God, to be able to take full advantage of their faith. To make good decisions. Lord, to be able to recognize the deceivers that are out there, that are led by their flesh. Lord, to be able to draw close to you in the strength that is our Christian faith. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You come. God spoke to your heart. You come. See, many already down here. What about you?